Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen. It is Friday, August 29th, 2014. Here's a quick look what's coming up.
Tonight.
If you want to preserve your power indefinitely, you have to get the consent of the ruled.
Huxley and Bernays would be proud. A look at the PSYOP war. And as the Cold War heats up, Putin issues a warning. All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Four, three, two, one, zero.
Yesterday, the Washington Post reported that two armored Russian columns have captured the southeastern coastal town of Novosibirsk. Now, that's basically right there on the Russian border. They are saying that the Ukrainian military has retreated and that the Russians have invaded the Ukraine. Meanwhile, the New York Times is reporting that U.S. officials have photographs of Russian artillery moving into the Ukraine, setting up firing positions. But before we hit the panic button, let's stop. Let's take a deep breath and take a good look at where all this information is coming from. Because to be honest, some of this information sounds like a load of BS. Consider the source. The New York Times says U.S. officials showed them satellite images of the invasion, but they won't publish the pictures. I guess we're supposed to take their word for it. And keep in mind that this is the same New York Times reporter, Michael Gordon, who along with Judith Miller, they're the ones that wrote all those bogus articles about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Remember that? Iraq has WMDs. It's not something we think, it's something we know. And they had all these fancy graphics showing that Iraq was in possession of mobile bioweapons labs. Colin Powell, as you might recall, he used the same graphics for his UN address, which ultimately led to the Iraq War in 2003. The mobile weapons labs were totally discredited. Colin Powell himself even admitted that he was persuaded by faulty intelligence. Yeah, right. And now we know that there was never any weapons of mass destruction discovered in Iraq.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
And that was the worst president in U.S. history until now. Now, don't get me wrong. What's happening in the Ukraine is real and it is escalating. But what we're looking at is a civil war. It is a civil war that's between the government of Western Ukraine and the Russian population of Eastern Ukraine. Once again, the United States government and NATO are up in everyone's business and caught up right in the middle. In fact, it was the U.S. orchestrated overthrow of the elected government in the Ukraine that has really pushed this crisis into high gear. Now, in an article written today that's posted right now on InfoWars.com, it was written by the father of Reaganomics, Paul Craig Roberts. He says that the Russian people of eastern Ukraine are resisting the threat brought to them by Washington's puppet government in Kiev. Washington continually accuses the Russian government of supporting the people in the territories who have voted for their separation from the Ukraine. There would be no war, Washington alleges, except for Russian support. But of course, Washington could easily stop the violence by ordering its puppet government in Kiev to stop the bombing and shelling of the former Russian province. The only possible conclusion from the facts is that Washington, the Obama administration and NATO, is determined to involve Europe in a war with Russia. Now you can hit the alarm button. Because this is a very serious game that they are playing. I tell you what, I think that this is a modern day Cuban Missile Crisis. And I tell you who else isn't very happy about U.S. involvement, intervention, and the overthrow of the Ukraine, and that is Vladimir Putin. In fact, right now there is breaking news on InfoWars.com that includes a feature article from Reuters where Putin says, "You better not mess with nuclear Russia." He blames the United States and the European Union for the unconstitutional removal of Kiev's former Moscow-backed president and the replacement of the Western-backed puppet. Now, here's a quote from Putin. Small villages and large cities surrounding the Ukrainian army, which is directly hitting residential areas with the aim of destroying infrastructure, it sadly reminds me of the events of the Second World War when German fascist occupiers surrounded our cities. Wow, so he is comparing the orchestrated U.S. takeover of the Ukraine with the Nazi takeover of Leningrad back in World War II. This is how serious Russia is taking this right now. They're taking it very serious, and they consider it a direct threat. Putin even went as far as reminding everyone, and I'm going to quote him again here, "I want to remind you that Russia is one of the leading nuclear powers." So a modern Cuban missile crisis indeed. Meanwhile, in northern Syria, a Dell computer has been captured from ISIS, and the content discovered on the hard drive is a vivid reminder that jihadists are hard at work acquiring weapons of mass destruction. In an article titled "Found, the Islamic State's Terror Laptop of Doom," a Syrian rebel group claims to have captured an ISIS laptop containing lessons on how to make bubonic plague bombs. And as Joe Biggs has discovered, ISIS is not going to be content on terrorizing U.S. interests abroad. No, they want to bring the war home right here in our own backyards.
I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com, bringing you breaking news about the ISIS terrorist group that's now operating on our southern borders. That's right. We've been talking about this for a long time. Obama's had this entire planned invasion into our country by illegals, taking Border Patrol away from their jobs and leaving these huge, wide-gapped areas open. Now we have news from Judicial Watch. They have gotten sources from the intelligence community and law enforcement that ISIS is now operating in Juarez, Mexico. If you don't know where that is, it's right across the river from El Paso, Texas. Now, in El Paso, Texas, FBI has a headquarters there. We have Fort Bliss, which is one of the largest military installations in America. Inside there, they have EPIC, which is an El Paso intelligence center, where there's a lot of high-ranking officials who work with the Border Patrol, CIA, things like that. That is a huge threat. And they're picking up radio chatter where they're saying that there is a threat that is imminent and they're going to carry out an attack on the border and that it is coming very soon. Think about this. This is what we've been telling you since day one when we started covering this whole border fiasco, that this is a huge national security issue. These guys can essentially just hop across an open area, and what they're talking about doing is bringing in VBIEDs. If you don't know what that is, it's a vehicle-borne improvised explosive device. Now, I've encountered these many times in Iraq and Afghanistan. We've seen the videos. You've seen it on the news. They can demolish a building in seconds. Someone gets in the car, drives it into its target, and levels it out. When I was in Afghanistan, I should say, I was at a place called the Coast Province. There was a district right above me called Sabari. Sabari got completely leveled by a dump truck that had explosives in it, and it sent out a shockwave that could be seen from miles and miles away. Huge, huge amount of destruction, chaos. That's what they want. We're spending money on building these huge Border Patrol facilities, and yet we're not putting money on the border where it belongs, fixing the fences, getting more Border Patrol agents out there doing their job instead of worrying about these kids. And don't forget, Janet Napolitano and Harry Reid have said that our southern borders are as secure as they've ever been. How can that be? This is an orchestrated event. We fund ISIS. We've opened the borders. This is a planned attack on the American people by these officials. And it doesn't even have to hit El Paso. It could go anywhere. Once they get across, they can go wherever they want. Because you've seen our videos when we go through a Border Patrol checkpoint that's miles away from the border. All you have to understand is, are you an American citizen? And then no to answer, yes. That's it. And you're through. You can go anywhere you want to after that, as long as you've got money to put gas in your vehicle. This is a serious, serious issue. And intelligence has picked up an increased chatter among Islamist terrorist networks approaching the 13th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. I mean, we're talking about this. This is just reiterating what we've been saying for months and months and months now. It's serious. It's so serious that they have got the commanding general at Fort Bliss. Right now, he's being briefed on this situation. That's how serious it is. I contacted my contact back in El Paso. He is the vice president of the Border Patrol Council, Stu Harris. And when I asked him, I said, do you have anything about this? He says, I can't talk about this at this time. So what does that say? It's something that they are discussing right now. It's a serious threat, and we need to keep our eyes open. I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com Nightly News. Back to you, Darren McBreen.
So scary times indeed, but is the real threat from ISIS, or is it from the globalist who created and funded these terrorist organizations to begin with?
And again, it's not our government, folks. It's globalist manipulating this. Just like they funded Al-Qaeda in Iraq and Al-Qaeda in Syria as the main force, they renamed it IS or ISIS. Now the political class says, brace for terror attack. We're about to get hit by Al-Qaeda or ISIS. Highest terror level alert in England. Terror level alert in New York City for ISIS. And no one's talking about who gave them the weapons. Just a year ago, we had Rand Paul saying, we don't want to be the Air Force for Al-Qaeda. And Senator Ted Cruz and others. And so they had a problem. The CFR openly said, we have a problem. It's coming out that we're working with these people. What do we do? So they had this whole PR thing of, well, we can't control them and they are good fighters and Assad is bad, but we'll bomb them later and, you know, we'll take care of the Al-Qaeda problem after they've taken care of Assad for us, blah, blah, blah. That's why we've given them the weapons and trained them. And then our own military came out and said, yeah, we've been forced to give them weapons and train them. And Tosh Plumlee had the Justice Department put a gag order on him. He was reporting on C-130s flying arms into the radical Islamicist state, Shia folks. And then we're basically told, brace for terror attack, brace for terror attack, brace for terror attack. The Al-Qaeda threat, the IS threat, is real. But they were funded, protected, shepherded by the criminals that have hijacked our country and Europe and many other nations.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Aldous Huxley, the author of A Brave New World, he said in an interview back in 1958 that the social engineers of the future, they will figure out a way to enslave us by tricking us and conditioning all of us into thinking that we are actually free. This was also well thought out and researched by the father of propaganda, Edward Bernays, who in his 1928 book, Propaganda, Bernays wrote, "If we understand the mechanisms and motives of the group mind, it is now possible
to control and regiment the masses, according to our will, without them knowing it."
He called it the engineering of consent and proposed that
those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government which is the true ruling power of our country.
So are we living in an Orwellian nightmare that was prophesied by the likes of George Orwell, Aldous Huxley, and Edward Bernays? Well, I did some research and I put together some video clips that shows how the globalist mind control has been present in our everyday lives, our entire lives, because the future is now.
If you want to preserve your power indefinitely, you have to get the consent of the ruled. And this they will do, partly by drugs, as I foresaw in Brave New World, partly by these new techniques of propaganda. They will do it by bypassing the sort of rational side of man and appealing to his subconscious and his deeper emotions, and his physiology even, and so making him actually love his slavery. I mean, I think this is the danger, that actually people may be in some ways happy under the new regime, but they will be happy in a situation where they oughtn't to be happy.
This is The Big Picture, an official television report to the nation from the United States Army.
Yes, in modern warfare, our military leaders are finding that words and ideas are highly effective weapons. Here, recruits with specialized backgrounds were taught the nature, methods, and techniques of propaganda and its dissemination. Radio presents these facts in any number of ways. Perhaps its most rewarding form of expression is news. For news is ready-made propaganda, and to an enemy, denied access to outside information, it's as welcome as food and water. Radio's principal advantage is that it can reach remote areas and reach them quickly. So that one program can be repeated and thereby reach a larger audience, it is often recorded on discs or on tape. The same show can be rebroadcast at convenient times in different areas.
Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's at the root of all our problems. They'll warn that tyranny's always lurking just around the corner. You should reject these voices.
Public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
My team, my specialties, information operations and the psychological arm of things, we are trained to deceive if we have to.
If you found out that your public affairs team that was showing you around actually had just had completed a 40-hour course in psychological operations and was trained in psyops and in military deception, you start to question, hey, is that an appropriate use of that resource?
You shouldn't trust me. In fact, by my actually participating in that, I will taint the news.
They took the babies out of the incubators. Took the incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
They had kids in incubators, and they were thrown out of the incubators so that Kuwait could be systematically dismantled.
Go read a book by the father of modern advertising, Edward Bernays, where he calls you a dumb slave and admits they run your whole life. I've read both his major books. One of them's called Propaganda. Edward Bernays.
Psychological warfare operations went into high gear. Our propaganda was beginning to pay off.
There's a global crime syndicate that controls NATO and the major Western governments, and it is using Al-Qaeda to overthrow secular governments.
I also can't see sending my son to fight with Islamic rebels against Christians. I also can't see my son going to fight on the same side as Al-Qaeda.
The people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Well, pancaking almost like a precision implosion.
Everybody get away from the tower. You got another tower that just came down 1013. Where exactly are you, King?
Millions of people who are sick and tired of the endless wars, the poverty that is coming, the attacks of our civil liberties.
I don't believe in conspiracy theories.
Conspiracies, yes. If I believe it, there's nothing theory about it.
You take the blue pill, the story ends,
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Meantime, there are questions multiplying today about the mysterious death of award-winning journalist Michael Hastings.
We are also requesting that your team of advisors include a senior officer who is thoroughly experienced in psychological operations.
Psychological warfare was established as a special staff agency. This move had far-reaching results.
You consider yourself a mark?
Well, I would very definitely say that I am a mark. That is correct.
This American citizen, Obama, depends on your next decision.
What if the whole purpose of government was to negate freedom? What if freedom was a myth? What if the Constitution meant nothing to the government? What if everything the government has or owns or controls has been stolen?
It's what we're doing here, and let's not kid about it. We're building a domestic army, and we're shrinking the military because the government is afraid of its own citizens.
This is what we have to look forward to all over the place. Look how quick, within a matter of days, they were able to go into a martial law status here in Ferguson. They had this entire bridge, this road, blocked off.
You are the parking lot. This is the St. Louis County Police Department. Disperse now.
They're coming to flank. Joe Biggs got shot with a rubber bullet. Now I'm running down the street. Man, quit shooting at me. Quit shooting at me.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered with a ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
And welcome back. Our guest tonight is Cheryl Chumley. She's the author of Police State USA, available in the InfoWars shop. She joins us now to talk about all things police state. Thank you for joining us, Ms. Chumley.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I have a copy of your book here, Police State USA, And I've encountered many people, as I'm sure you have, who are skeptical about a police state, even in the wake of what we saw in the city of Ferguson, Missouri. So what would you say to the naysayers who say there is no such thing as a police state in the United States of America?
Well, first and foremost, I would say read my book. And if you can come to any type of conclusion that we are not on the cusp of a police state, please email me and let me know. Because it seems to me in my research that, you know, this nation is losing all its constitutional rights and freedoms. And there's no other way to call it, no other way to characterize it. And police state does not just refer to the militarization of police. That's just one aspect of it.
Right. And I was talking to you earlier, and you mentioned something, you saw the articles, it's been an ongoing trend, people being told to take down their flags, patriotic flags, don't tread on me flags, whatever, all across the country. And we saw a recent example. So, you know, when you see that, what does that make you think, that you can't even raise a flag in the United States of America?
Well, did you ever think we'd get to the point in the United States of America where putting an American flag outside your home would cause such a controversy? The case you're referring to was a woman who's flown her flag, her U.S. flag, for 36 years outside her home. All of a sudden now her rental company says that she has to take it down because of fairness issues. If you fly an American flag, the company, you know, worries that other people from other nationalities will want to fly their flags also. So, you know, it's just constant barrage of government regulation, a mindset coming even in the private sector now to clamp down on individual freedoms.
That's exactly right, because we've even seen in California kids suspended from school for wearing American flag T-shirts. They said you can't even wear an American flag T-shirt going into school. And like you said, this is the land of the free, supposedly. You know, why can't you raise a flag? Why can't you wear a flag shirt to school? But let's talk about some of the things going on in the news, some of the other aspects. I know you put out a few articles this week, and one of the things that I caught my attention was feds tout school lunches as national security issue. What exactly is that about?
That's where the USDA wants to put such importance on Michelle Obama's campaign to tell parents how to feed their children in the school system, that they want to make it a national security issue. What their logic is if kids are obese in this country, they will not be able to perform well in the military. They'll grow up and they won't be fit enough to serve this nation. Mm-hmm. So they're calling that a national security issue, but that's way over the top. And it's not really the government's right to tell people how to eat anyhow.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because we've seen in the city of Chicago, I did one of my earlier reports here at InfoWars, was talking about exactly the issue you talked about, how they want to regulate what the kids are eating. Meanwhile, they did an expose on one of the schools there, the local CBS affiliate, and found out that the kids were actually eating rat droppings because the school cafeteria was not up to snuff. And, you know, we've seen people rebel against Michelle Obama, entire YouTube videos, the kids saying we're hungry and we're not getting enough food to eat. But that's just one aspect, as you said, of the larger police state. And another thing that caught my attention today, I saw this report about an officer, or a police chief, more accurately, in Florida, said that his officer was justified in threatening to kill somebody because the suspect didn't show the appropriate quotient of fear. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but basically this was during a traffic stop. An officer came up with his gun drawn at somebody who was filming him with a cell phone and said, put down your cell phone, and then actually threatened to shoot the guy. The exact quote was, I'm not afraid to pop around in your, you know, effing butt right now. Because the guy wasn't afraid enough of him.
Yeah, now see, that just speaks to the whole militarization of police. And, you know, it's not just the equipment that police departments around the nation are getting. It's not just the military gear that they're getting as cast-offs from the Pentagon's 1033 program. It's a whole mindset shift in how police are being trained to patrol their communities. It's not any longer the serve and protect, put the innocent American first. It's more aggressive, it's a lot more in your face, cuff first, ask questions later, and the biggest priority nowadays, which is alarming if you think about it, is the police want to protect first and foremost their fellow police officers. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes comes at the expense of the citizens who actually pay their salaries to protect them first.
That's right, because they're no longer peacekeepers, they're law enforcement. I did a special report earlier talking about the growing phenomenon of swatting. This is where, you know, guys playing video games will call a SWAT team on somebody else. You know, for example, you know, I saw, you know, Mrs. Chumley chop off somebody's head. You know, you need to go send a SWAT team over there. And in the particular video I referenced, the officers bust in. There's a guy sitting there, you know, at his video game station, raises his hands, gets on the ground voluntarily, but the officers still thought it was necessary to, you know, stomp on the guy's back. You know, he has three or four grown men laying on him, and then he puts a boot in the back of the small of this guy's back. And in my opinion, you know, I understand the officers want to be safe, but that's overkill.
Well, that's definitely the problem. And, you know, when you have this type of equipment at your disposal as a police officer, and when you're trained in more a military mindset than, you know, a civilian serve and protect, you don't start out at a level of response that's low key. You don't start out at level one and progress slowly until you're forced unwillingly to hit level 10. You know, you just jump right in the gun and you'll whip out, you know, level 8, level 9 response. And, you know, that's how Americans, innocent Americans, their constitutional rights are getting trounced.
Mm-hmm. Referencing the situation in Ferguson, Missouri again, of course, we had the riots and the looting that preceded or happened after the shooting of Michael Brown. But then the police come out, and to respond to that, they come out with tear gas, which you can't use against an enemy combatant foreignly. They come out with rubber bullets. And people always say that not every police officer is bad, and I do agree with that, but not every protester is bad. You know, 90%+ of that crowd, probably around 98% of that crowd, was nonviolent towards the police. Yes, you had the guys who, you know, F the police and all this stuff, but nobody was physically threatening them other than a very small group of people, but they decided to use these measures on an entire community. Not just the people who are on that street of West Florissant, but everybody who lived in that whole neighborhood. They shot, Mrs. Chumley, I was there, tear gas for a mile stretch of this road. We were out there the next day filming reports, and when the wind would blow, you could still smell the tear gas. It would burn your eyes. And this affected everybody who lived in that community, not just the people who were there at the protest.
That's exactly right. And I wasn't there, but I saw the videos. And I did speak with a woman from St. Louis just recently. And I asked her, what came first? Was it the protesters and the thugs looting? Or was it the police going into overkill? Because the reports aren't clear on that. And she was clear. She said the protesters were in an area. They were peaceful. They were doing their First Amendment rights and so forth peacefully. And then the police came out and cordoned them off in a little protest zone. And once that happened, that kind of escalated some of the protesters who wondered, why do they have to stay in this special zone created for protesting?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. And from there, it escalated. So, you know, what came out of Ferguson, the police may have been justified in defending themselves from Molotov cocktails, but I don't think they were justified in bringing out the armored vehicles with the 50 cal mounted on top, you know, when protesters, like you said, 98% of them were just protesting peacefully.
Mm-hmm. So what's, you know, in your opinion, the solution? Because, yes, the police do have threats. You know, they do face various people, not just people throwing Molotov cocktails, but you do have the occasional active shooter and so forth. But we see the heavy armor, the MRAPs, the fully assault rifles that some of these guys carry. You know, is any of this justified in any type of situation?
Well, I would say police definitely need some military-grade equipment if they're tracking a terrorist like they were in Boston. You know, that's a situation that comes maybe once in a lifetime where you can understand police need to take special precautions. Some of this equipment may be justified in a hostage situation. But certainly, and this is what angers most Americans, when you're just doing a routine police mission, when you're serving a warrant on a drug suspect, especially a drug suspect who's not actually a dealer, but just using drugs for his own personal recreational use, you don't need to bust in their homes at 3 a.m. in the morning with a flashbang grenade, storming down doors and causing all kinds of havoc. Because what's happening is, you know, we're having babies blown up. Mm-hmm. We're having Marines killed. We're having Americans injured, you know, innocent Americans not even charged with any crime yet. And then oftentimes the suspect is located at a different location down the road.
That's right. And that
the thing with warrants is you're supposed to serve them before you enter the home.
Right. But like you were saying, the thing they want to do is these no-knock warrants. And you reference Baby Bobo, who it was, who got his face blown off by the flashbang grenade. And you want to talk about the crimes of the police, of the parents, rather. Whatever they may have been doing, is it worse than blowing a toddler's face off? You know, it's this, you know, anything goes and nobody really gets held responsible. You know, in your opinion, what should happen? Let's just take that example of the flashbang grenade. Should the officers be held accountable for that?
Yeah, fired. Definitely. When you do something like that, you don't have the right to wear the, you know, uniform anymore. I understand that these are coming, you know, from the higher ups in the department. And it, you know, it's not one person acting on his or her own. It's, you know, the team, the police officer, the police department, going in together to serve these warrants. But when somebody's baby gets blown up and they spend 5 weeks in a coma, recovering from this and then face years and years of more medical treatments, there needs to be immediate action. And like you said, the police aren't held accountable in that. The good news is a federal court just ruled that SWAT teams can in fact be sued if they overreach on their if they storm into a home and they wreck a home and somebody gets injured and it turns out that the suspect wasn't even in the home.
Yes, that's a very good point, because like you said, sometimes they even go to the wrong locations. They'll spend millions of dollars of teaching these guys how to jump out of helicopters and do all this stuff, but they won't spend $2 on a roadmap to get them to the proper location. And while we get close to our end here, I want to ask you about, you know, coming out of Ferguson, now the police departments, the sheriff's departments, you know, they're starting to question, or at least, you know, on the public face, do they need all this equipment? And now people are saying that they're actually willing to, give these MRAPs and other military vehicles back to the Pentagon. Do you think that this is something that's really going to happen? Is this just people talking for the sake of publicity? You know, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, there have been some local uprisings where people have actually gone to their local boards of supervisors and their city councils, who hold the purse strings and regulatory control for their local police departments. And they've demanded, we don't want this equipment in our community any longer. And there have been a little successes with that. But I think this equipment would be better off being used on the border. Give it to the border states. Give it to custom and bureau protection agents. You know, let maybe even local police departments down there store the equipment for border patrol uses. It's certainly good equipment to have, but for more militarized reasons, not to execute, you know, drug warrants and so forth on innocent Americans.
That's right. Now, Ms. Chumley, as we end, can you tell us how people can keep up with your work, and also the best part about your book? What do people need to know about Police State USA?
Well, about Police State USA, you know, the basic premise is, you know, we are losing our God-given rights, and in its place are coming government-granted rights. And my book, you know, it's not conservative versus liberal. You know, Republicans and Democrats both are angry by a lot of these issues. And they can find my book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, and WND Books. And if you want to keep up with my work, just read the Washington Times.
All right, Cheryl Chumley, thank you for your time, miss.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News, but stop by PrisonPlanet.tv and get yourself a 15-day free trial. You can get the Alex Jones Show, the Nightly News, the Special Reports, the Rants, and so much more at PrisonPlanet.tv. And be sure to join us Monday for a special Labor Day broadcast chronicling some of the most important reports that we filed this year. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News, and we'll see you again soon.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.